And now for my next trick. I will combine the strength of hefty, ultra-strong trash bags with the joyfully clean scent of Fabuloso!
Wow! Smells like rainbows and unicorns!
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Well, that turned out better than when I tried to split my assistant in half.
New hefty, ultra-strong trash bags with Fabuloso scent. So strong, so joyful, it must be magic.
All right, we're back, folks. Representative Tenney, Congress has evidence that Joe Biden was in the room with Hunter when the shakedown WhatsApp message to set the Chinese Business Association. Now, here again, we're gonna stay on this. Remember what they did to Donald Trump. Remember how they continuously went after Donald Trump. And that's all you would hear on the fake news media, the government-controlled, communist-controlled NBC, ABC, CBS. Well, you know what? We're giving them a little of their own medicine now. We're giving them what they did to Donald Trump. And Donald Trump was innocent. That whole China, 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 Russia, 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 all of that stuff was fake. It was all fake. And so we're going to just give it back to them. Now here, Congress has evidence that Joe Biden was in the room with Hunter when the shakedown took place. Now, here, Representative Claudia Tenney said on Monday that Congress has the evidence Joe Biden was in the room. They know he was in the room with Son Hunter. And when Hunter sent a threatening WhatsApp message on July 30th, 2017, because the fake news media is trying to put out that Joe wasn't really in the room, from a Biden family home in Wilmington, Delaware, to a Chinese businessman associate, Henry Zhou. Tenney serves on the White House Ways and Means Committee, which last week released WhatsApp message as a part of the package of evidence and testimony obtained from the IRS whistleblowers. So go ahead, Eric, or Derek, and play that.
All right, Hunter Biden's attorney is blaming his client's drug history for a bombshell text message that appears to show Hunter Biden threatening a Chinese businessman or face retaliatory measures from his father, Joe Biden, and, quote, everybody he knows, attorney Chris Clark, saying that Hunter Biden's verifiable words or actions took place in the midst of a horrible addiction and therefore have no connection to anyone in his family. Attorney General Merrick Garland, meanwhile, is saying he did not interfere with the Hunter Biden probe while slamming anybody who questions the DOJ's independence. Watch this.
I certainly understand that some have chosen to attack the integrity of the Justice Department and its components and its employees by claiming that we do not treat like cases alike. This constitutes an attack on an institution that is essential to American democracy and essential to the safety of the American people. Nothing could be further from the truth.
Joining me right now is New York Congresswoman, member of the House Ways and Means Committee. Claudia Tenney is with me. Congresswoman, it's good to see you this morning. So much to discuss. Let's start with the Hunter Biden influence peddling story. Your reaction to what you just heard from Merrick Garland.
Well, first of all, if I could be a Democrat for a moment, I'd call that mansplaining. The Democrats during our meeting on this, when we had the executive session, talked about, I thought you Republicans cared about backing the blue. How can you attack the FBI and how wonderful they are? These are the same people that would attack parents who were showing up at school board meetings and called them people that were terrorists, basically. So, look, the FBI is dirty. These are dirty cops. This is what happened during this investigation. The Department of Justice engaged basically in obstructing justice, in preventing this story from coming out. They interfered to make sure that these IRS agents, who, by the way, were investigating a pornography ring, somehow end up with Hunter Biden's story. This is really important part of the mix, too. So, I mean, look, we can all focus on Hunter Biden, but the real story here is Joe Biden and how Hunter Biden was the proxy for Joe and the family. And this started, as Peter Schweitzer pointed out, back when Joe Biden was vice president. He was peddling his influence using his son. Remember, you've talked about this, Maria, traveling on Air Force Two, meeting with the Chinese, Now the Chinese have data. They have a phone that was issued to him by the Chinese Communist Party. All this stuff is happening, and this is while he's the vice president of the United States. So while he's vice president, we're seeing influence peddling. We're seeing violation of ethics laws, violation of campaign finance. Then he becomes a private citizen, but they're still trying to get this money, from Hunter Biden to Joe. And this is how the relationship started and continues. So while he's a private citizen, this becomes money laundering, tax evasion, and all those things that these IRS agents really stumbled upon, these whistleblowers that we heard from. That's what's really going on here. And as the Democrats try to say, how can you, attack the venerable institution of the FBI and the DOJ? And how can you say now Joe's a private citizen? This is a, activity that's been going on for years that started using his position to protect himself and also using his position, Joe Biden, to enrich himself and his family. You don't live for 50 years on the pay that members of Congress and Senate and even the vice president make and live in multimillion dollar mansions in beautiful, exquisite areas like Rehoboth Beach and also Wilmington, Delaware. So, These are things that just raise eyebrows. And we know there's something there, but the DOJ slow walked this, as the evidence proved. They tried to prevent searching, for example, a storage facility in Virginia, looking at what was at Joe Biden's house. Agents were concerned because Merrick Garland was putting the pressure on him. No, we can't go there. We can't investigate the big guy. We can't talk about the father. All this is really important in getting to the corruption here.
Well, I mean, that one WhatsApp message was so blatant where he says, I'm sitting with my father. You tweeted out a picture of Hunter Biden sitting in Joe Biden's Corvette. And you say, where was Joe Biden when Hunter sent that text? That WhatsApp message really sounded like a mobster shakedown, saying you better keep your commitment. Otherwise, you're going to face, the retaliatory consequences of the man sitting next to me and everybody he knows. So, I mean, that tells you everything.
Right. And all we need to prove. Exactly, Maria. And all we need to prove is that Joe Biden was in the room and he's part of this. And we have other evidence showing that Joe Biden was in the room from various witnesses who were involved in the Biden schemes. Joe was there to show that Hunter had the connections. But again, I think a lot of that is distraction. I think that Joe Biden used Hunter Biden, a flawed person with a lot of problems. He used him in order to get this, an easy shill that he could use his own son, which is horrible in many ways, a tragic situation with his drug abuse. But now you see the Democrats saying, oh, this poor son, he's got drug problems. That's why we're going to give him a lesser sentence. Those are not, this is really, again, I can't emphasize enough, it's about Joe Biden. And so that WhatsApp message, we found evidence showing that Joe Biden and the whole family were all in Wilmington on the night of the phone call, that WhatsApp message when it happened. That was July 30th, 2017. Yeah. And yes, Joe Biden was a private citizen, but this is a continuation of the tax evasion, the money laundering, and what was going on to get that money through Hunter to Joe Biden and his family.
Yeah, very, very troubling. And the chairman of your committee, Jason Smith, joined me last week and told us that they took in $17 million from 2014 to 2019, and the FBI and the DOJ slow-walked it so that the statute of limitations would go up on 2014 and 2015, which it has. Congresswoman, we're going to keep a spotlight on it, but it's just incredible to see what is happening to our country with this. Congresswoman Claudia Tenney, good to see you.
All righty, we are back. And a couple of things I wanted to talk about. You've got this film coming out, The Sound of Freedom, July 4th, and I'm trying to find out where this is going to be playing around here. I would like to go and see that. And it's about what we've been talking about here for a long, long time. Also, we have, we have a film that we're going to be showing at Lord's Willing and Doers of the Word Baptist Church at this coming Sunday in the afternoon, at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's called Nefarious, and it's really, it is very realistic. It has an application of the way things are today. folks, especially because of the rise of Satanism. The rise of Satanism. Literally, the Democratic Party literally have adopted Satanism now as their religion. They're not telling you that openly, but they have done that. They're involved with a lot of their activities. They promote Satanism. They'll defend Satanism over Christianity at any time. So, in fact, I got to just tell you here, it's what we've been telling you too. Pope Francis sent two bishops to confront and harass Bishop Strickland after he led a march against the Satanic Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Earlier this month, thousands of Catholics and Protestants gathered outside a Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles to protest the team honoring the demonic group, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. The Dodgers and Major League Baseball allowed the radical demonic sodomite group, who mock Catholics and Christianity, to celebrate their blasphemy before the start of the baseball game. Bishop Strickland from Texas spoke out at the rally and prayed before the game. Los Angeles, a huge group of the Catholic Christians have already arrived outside of Dodger Stadium to, this was an article from the paper, to pray in protest of the Dodgers honoring the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, a drag group that repeatedly mocked Christ and blasphemed God and the Catholic faith. Now, Vatican versus Bishop Strickland. The drag nuns at the Dodger Stadium, a.k.a. the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgences, these were people who were blaspheming God. On Monday, John Yip from the Catholics for Catholics joined Steve Bannon on the War Room and told, Yip told Steve, the Vatican sent two bishops to Texas to confront and harass Bishop Strickland after the rally. John Yip, pat yourself on the back. Everybody in America, we are over the target. What we did with God's help in the Dodger Stadium with a team of united people from all different faiths having an effect. And they didn't realize, Vatican doesn't realize, this may seem to be, seem like a punishment to us and slap on the face, but this will just send our poll numbers up, similar to the way that is done for Donald Trump. Well, there you go, folks. Again, the Pope is no more saved than the man in the moon. In fact, what he had said, I'll never forget hearing him say that when Christ did, humanly speaking, he failed at Calvary, folks. That's blasphemy. Here you go. Pope Francis welcomes artist who submerged a crucifix in glass of urine to the Vatican. And I'm looking at it. He's got a glass of urine here. And here's this guy. Pope Francis has once again stunned Catholics as he welcomed photographer Andres Sereno to the Vatican. Sereno is the creator of the controversial Piss Christ, in which he submerged a model of Jesus Christ on a crucifix in his own urine. Pope Francis welcomed 200 artists to the Sistine Chapel to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Vatican's collection of contemporary art. Folks, you need to pray that he will repent, lest he should burn. You need to pray that wicked man would repent, unless he should burn. He's blaspheming God. All right, we're going to open the phone lines and take your calls. The phone lines are now open at 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. By the way, those two articles I just read, the last one was out of the Gateway Pundit, and here, let me see. The first one was, both of them were from the Gateway Pundit, and praise the good Lord that they've got the courage to print the truth. So many today don't. And praise the good Lord for those Catholics who have the courage to stand up against such a corrupt Vatican. All right, phone lines are open, 888-677-9673. Look, today we had some calls from people wanting to know, they missed Pledge Week, and wanted to know why we don't give the address out during the week. I don't really like asking for money for, you know, all month. So we very seldom do it, but I'm going to do it tonight. I'm going to give the address out there, folks, because people are asking, why don't we give it more? And so the address is WRWL Ministries, or just WRWL. That's all you have to go. WRWL 14781. 14781. Sperry. S-P-E-R-R-Y. That's S-P-E-R-R-Y. Road. Newbury, N-E-W-B-U-R-Y, N-E-W-B-U-R-Y, Ohio, 44065. All right, let's go to Miss Johnson out there in Texas. Ain't that Miss Johnson? Hello.
Mr. Samus, I would like to say hello.
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead and kind of talk up.
You're doing the wrong prayer. That's the wrong prayer.
What's the wrong prayer?
Pray early about them people, Nancy Pelosi. You don't do that.
I don't do that. What in the world? What in the world would you make you say that?
You just pray a prayer not to be having a harm against people. You don't.
Do you know what, Miss Johnson? Have you ever read the Bible?
You don't read the Bible,
Miss Johnson.
Like
have you, Miss Johnson?
Nobody.
Do you know what an imprecatory prayer is?
Degrading people,
Miss. No, it's not degrading people, Miss
yes,
Johnson.
It is.
It's what, Miss Johnson? It's what Jesus did. It's what
in
the apostles
name of
did.
Jesus,
it's called imprecatory
in the name
prayer.
Of Jesus.
Okay.
In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. You need to stop it right
you
now.
See?
In the name
okay.
of Jesus.
Let me tell you what a hypocrite is.
You can have a show
a hypocrite is doing
name,
something.
Calling out their name. That's
Miss
not right.
Johnson. Miss Johnson.
That is not right
okay.
at all.
Goodbye, Miss Johnson. All righty. Miss Johnson, what she doesn't realize is a hypocrite is someone that accuses someone else of doing something they're doing. Now, what she just did, she just rebuked and criticized me, okay? What was she talking about, disrespecting people? Let me tell you, God's Word, the Bible, is very clear. What did the Lord Jesus say? What did the Apostle Paul say? What did Peter say? They didn't stutter, did they? All right, read Matthew chapter 23. If you think I was bold, listen to what the Lord Jesus, how he dealt with the apostate leaders of his day. Now, Ms. Johnson, my guess is you're a Democrat. My guess is you're probably involved, and you probably belong to maybe a United Church of Christ or one of the apostate denominations, Ms. Johnson. And again, Ms. Johnson, you're the one that needs to repent. And here's what you do. Go to Hebrews chapter 13 and read verse 7 and 17. Ms. Johnson, if you're listening to me, go to Hebrews and get a real Bible, Hebrews 13, and read verses 7 and 17. Already, we have C.S. Thunder. Hey, C.S.
Good evening, Pastor. What an exciting program tonight. Gee. did you happen to see what Joe Biden said today?
No, what did he do today?
Biden, somebody asked him a question. He says, how did you get all your money? He says, I sold a lot of state secrets.
Yeah, we just played that clip. I just played that clip here a few minutes ago.
Oh, okay. I haven't had a chance to listen in yet. So, Pastor, question. We have a submarine that imploded, and it took all of 5 days to report on it. What happened during those 5 days that they didn't want us to pay attention to?
I don't know. You tell me.
Samuel Bankman-Fried was released. You know, the guy that gave a lot of money to both Republicans and Democrats through that business that he had.
The scam.
The multi-billionaire. He lost all that money.
Yeah. Well, he could have brought a lot of them down with him. So yeah. What else happened?
Well, we had information coming out about Hunter Biden. And nobody's paying attention to that. Everybody was talking about that submarine.
Well, now, we were talking about it. We haven't missed a beat on it. We've been bringing it out tonight.
I know.
And we upset Ms. Johnson when we do that.
Well, you know, it's interesting to note that there are people, and I'm not the only one that's saying this, that said that there was nobody on that submarine.
Well, I don't know. That
there's
wasn't
a lot of people. There's a lot of people that are saying that that ain't. You know the guy, the multi-billionaire that was on that sub. I can't remember his name right now. He was tied in with the Saudis and the Pakistanis. He was also good friends with several of the people that went to Epstein Island.
Yeah, now, looks like they had a lot of billionaires out there, huh?
Yeah. So what is a matter of fact, the list just came out. Unbelievable the amount of people that went to that island, the complete list. It's crazy. It really is. I mean, very famous people, you know, Will Smith, Seth Green, all these actors and actresses. They're out there. They went to that island, but they don't want people to know about it. So there's something going on. And I believe that this billionaire that was supposedly died on this submarine wasn't on that submarine at all.
Well, I don't know if he was enough, but anyhow.
You'd have to be crazy to go on a sub like that. The, the portal was built by a company, and it was rated at only 9,000 feet. They were going down 12,000 feet. And they had computer game controllers for, a $50 controller to run that submarine. There's something about this story that just does not make sense.
Well, I'll tell you what, C.S., you stay on that. Find out what you can. If you wanna hang in here with me, I'm gonna take some other. All the lines are lit up, so.
No, I figure they would be, but again, you know, there's a lot of stuff that happened during that submarine sinking, and nobody's paying attention to any of the other stuff except you, of course, and a few others. So we're gonna have to.
We're going to have some very interesting programs this week, so you'll want to stay tuned.
Well, the other thing, too, is the Russian situation. That happened.
What was taken. Yeah, and boy, believe me, we are not getting the truth out of here by the mainstream media. Boy, we're getting not. Everything but the truth. What's happening? We've heard from.
That's some, why I'm caught. That's why I call them the enemy. The pastor, I'll let you go. God bless. Keep fighting the fight.
Keep you do the same. CS, we'll talk to you. Thanks. Alrighty, we have Cliff next. Cliff, you're in the air.
Yeah, hi. I just want to relay a couple of things from LifeSiteNews.com. There's an article about that Pope thing on LifeSiteNews.com, and there's. Couple of things about that artist that are pretty interesting. One is he relates himself to some guy from the Middle Ages that has some really good paintings, and he compares himself as an artist to this guy that is like has really talented paintings from the Middle Ages, which is ridiculous. And then the Pope did know who he was, and he was greeting a couple hundred people and was getting kind of tired and losing his energy. And then he perked up when he met this guy, gave him a thumbs up and a sly smile. It sounded like Christopher Ray,
yeah.
That type of thing. The other thing on mysitenews.com had an article about an abortion clinic in Cleveland called Preterm.
Oh, yeah. That's Preterm's the biggest abortion mill in Ohio.
Yeah, and they said it was June 2nd they got a call of a woman that was bleeding out, apparently, and they just got some of the information from the call that was redacted, but it sounds like she's dead, according to the article.
It wouldn't be the first one. I've been there, and I've seen a lot of them being taken out of there, coming out of there bleeding, rushing them to the hospital. But let me ask you a question, okay?
Mm-hmm.
See, with people, we're living in a time where people have been, they've gotten so indoctrinated, so dumbed down to where they don't know right from wrong. They've been listening. For example, Miss Johnson has just called in here. She doesn't realize, okay, she was chastising me for chastising the wicked, in other words, and here, but they don't understand. Let me ask you a question. What does the Bible say about the wages of sin?
Well, okay, if you look at Psalm 7, it says, it mentions the anger of the Lord twice. It said the Lord is angry with the wicked every day.
Okay, yeah. So the wages of sin is what?
Death.
Okay, so now let me ask you something. If these women go in to that whorehouse of death, and that's what it is, Preterm is a filthy, dirty whorehouse of death there in Cleveland. I've been out at that place, and I preached out there time and time and time again over the years. It's filthy, dirty whorehouse of death. That's what it is now. If these women go in there to have their babies killed, the Bible says the wages of sin is what?
Death, yeah.
So they deserve death, don't they?
Well, they're walking into a double death, basically. And okay. I think it's just the child, and it's they're kind of, a lot of them are being lured in by the way, as it says, it's part of being simple. They don't realize that this is also a procedure or a murder that will also kill them in many cases.
Yeah, but you see, the point of it is, now, I know there are exceptions. In my years being out there, I've seen these young girls being drug in there, and I've interceded and intercepted some of them. And I'm not talking about these young girls that are 9, 12 years old and who really don't know, that don't have discernment. I'm talking about the ones that know what they're doing. They know that they're going to kill their child in there. And I've talked to many of them. I had one tell me, I killed 6 babies. This is my 7th, and I've got the right to do it. These are wicked, wicked people, okay? And so, but we've gotten to the point in our country where they've gotten so far away from reality. The pastors have not preached heaven sweet and hell hot. They have failed to preach against sin the way they should. And talk about, there's a fiery lake of fire out there for people that do that. So the Bible says if you're going in there to kill your baby, you deserve to die, okay? And many of them do. Many of them do. But you know what? What happens, Cliff? They're 7 times more likely, those young girls that go kill their babies, 7 times more likely to commit suicide than their peers, the ones that haven't killed their babies. So what does that tell you? The wages of sin is death. We'll be back right after this.
And I won't ever let you down, but you should have a fear of me. every single word I say. Words, my words are what I've used to turn your heart to me. You know I've always done every single word that I say. My words will never pass away. My words are here to stay. Heaven and earth will pass, but my words will never go away. Words, my words are what I use to turn your heart to me. They are my words. My words are what I use to turn your heart to me. They are my words. My words are what I use to turn your heart to me.
Scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful onward, but are full within, are full of dead man's bones and full of uncleanness. Even so you outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. And I say, if I had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Anyhow, you hear that, Miss Johnson? The Lord Jesus, if you think that I was tough, you know, you better listen to what the Lord Jesus has to say. There's a burning lake of fire for people that are not repentant. Miss Johnson, you need to go to the scriptures. Alrighty, we have Joe. Joe, you're in the air.
Hey, Joe. So many. Are you here?
Yeah, I'm here. I can hear you. Go ahead.
Wow, Pastor, you sing and you write so many songs. I have one too. Manic Depression. Bye bye, Joe Biden. No Kamala Harris. No way, no how. No communist. No socialist. Bye bye, Joe Biden. So long, Kamala, too. And, Pastor, by the way, do you remember Red Skelton?
I sure do. I really do. He was funny.
His television show, he would complete his television show, he would say, "Good night, and may God bless."
Yep. Well, God bless, good night, and maybe with that song he'll make the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Pastor, now. Take care. Good night.
Alrighty. Good night. God bless. Let's go to Bob. Bob, you're in there.
Hello, Pastor Ernie.
Hey, Bob.
God bless you and everybody at What's Right, What's Left. It's a great show as always. I have a question. Are you familiar at all with Pastor Doug Giles?
The name sounds often familiar. I meet a lot of pastors because I attend a number of conferences, but the name is very familiar.
He's the founder of like ClashDaily.com, and he's a pastor. Here's a book for that Miss John. One of his books is entitled "Is If Masculinity Is Toxic, Call Jesus Radioactive." I'm not making that up. That's the actual title.
Wow.
And basically he shows from the Gospel of Matthew that Jesus was not this little precious moment, you know, little soft, like Hello Kitty type of, you know, a savior. He was a real man, you know.
he was a carpenter in the days of when there was no Home Depot and no power tools, you know, and he's written a number of books where he called out the churches for like closing down. One of his other books is entitled "Dear Christian, Your Fear Is Full of Crap," and in that book he talks about how the churches just meekly went along with the plandemic, you know, and everything. And another book he wrote is entitled, he co-wrote it with this other guy, Brandon Valerani. It's called "Would Jesus Vote for Trump?" You know, and he basically said that he probably would, because each author, you know, they the book is made up of different articles that they wrote, and saying that Donald Trump had a lot of qualities that Jesus probably would have voted for, you know.
Well, absolutely. You know, Donald Trump was not perfect by any means. I mean,
no, of course not.
But see, here's the thing. Look, I've had people come to me and tell me. In fact, just recently, a fellow came and said,
"I'm having trouble hearing you, Pastor."
Okay, can you fix that there, Eric? Derek? He says he's having trouble hearing me. Okay, I don't think I can go any higher. How's that? Is that any better?
A little better now, yeah. Yes.
Okay, well, already, if I turn it much more than that, it's liable to blow. Anyhow,
okay, no,
here's what I'm trying to tell you about this. It's not about Trump. What they did to Trump, they did to us. Do you understand?
Right.
And if we let them get away with it, we can't let them get away with what they did to Trump, because, again, they stole our vote.
Yeah,
it was in your face. And Trump is absolutely right when he says, "They're it's not about me. They're coming for you." And he's absolutely
Amen.
Right. He said, "I'm just in their way." And I had a fellow just come to me and say, "You know, I like Trump. I really do. But he's got so much baggage." And I explained to him,
you gotta
go. We got to make sure that Trump wins. We got it. We got to stay with him on this thing, all the way through. And you know, and here you got to understand a lot of what happens in politics out there is theater. It's not what it appears. A lot of these politicians, they meet ahead of time where they talk about and they set, they'll put on. And you know what? We did some of this theater when I was out there preaching on the streets in front of the abortion mills. We had a police officer that was very high up in the police department, and he was a Christian. In fact, he was a minister. And
wow.
He would come out, and we would be pretend like we're arguing. We'd stand out there shaking our finger at each other. But what we were talking about, he'd be shaking his finger and say, "What are you preaching on Sunday?" And I'd be telling him we'd be discussing things. But it would look like we were at odds with one another, but we weren't. We were doing this, and meanwhile we had the police cars with their red lights across the driveways of the abortion mills, and the police officers motioning people to just keep going when they come down there. Okay. And so this is somewhat what you're seeing with some of these politicians.
Yeah.
They set up, they say, "Okay, here's what we're going to do." But unfortunately, sometimes they get out of hand. They control it, like Trump and Cruz. Trump crossed the line when he called Ted Cruz's wife ugly. You don't do that. That was, you know, a lot of it's just like I said, it's like professional wrestling, but.
Yeah,
that crossed the line.
I was just thinking the same thing. Yeah.
Anyhow, so not everything is the way it appears out there for folks. You need to know
true.
That. But, well, I'm getting a lot of calls from New York tonight.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm real popular in that city of New York, am I?
No. You've got. I know a Christian sister who listens to your show too. Yeah.
Wow. Well, all right. Well, listen, thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Stay well and go.
Have a happy 4th. Who do we have next in there?
John from Minnesota.
Let's go out to from New York to Minnesota. Hey, John, you're in the air.
Hey, Pastor. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
You sound good. You sound like you're strong. I have a question. If you think the same way I am about Obama, you know, he'll come out of his little beach house, you know, where the water is supposed to be rising, and give a little talk. It won't be very long, maybe a few minutes, and then he disappears back into his beach house. And when he talks, it seems like the news cycle jumps on what he talked about and starts focusing on that. And I have to think, after seeing this a few times, that it's pretty deliberate. And the last time he talked about how the talk show hosts in America that are conservative spread misinformation. And I think that's code for start cracking down on the talk show hosts. Do you agree with that? Do you see that?
Well, yeah. Biden is trying to, he wanted to buy executive order, but he can't. He wants to pass, the Democrats want to pass legislation that would do exactly that. In other words, it would literally take away your First Amendment. That's what happened. That's what they're doing right now in Michigan with the legislation that they just passed through the House and going probably passed through the Senate by now. They're going to sign that, and that literally takes away your First Amendment rights. It says anything that you say that would offend a homosexual or would offend a transgender or offend any, then that's a hate crime, and you could go to prison 5 more or more years for offending them, for saying, for your freedom of speech. In other words, you have to take what they tell you and let them frame the debate. So
yeah, it seems like the talk show hosting is coming from fear, because I think he's afraid of that. He's telling the media and his followers and his, you know, all the little creeps he has all over the landscape. He's telling them, you guys have to start cracking down more on conservative talk show hosts. And I think that he's right in his fears. Thank God. I praise God for that. But it does seem like there's a pattern where he'll put out his little word for a few minutes, and all of a sudden the whole media enterprise, except for Christian conservatives, are jumping on the bandwagon following him.
Oh, absolutely. But here's something to watch for now. Remember, within the collective, if you can betray someone, with authority and power and standing and take them down, then that adds within the collective to your stock, okay? Now Joe Biden, I don't know if because of his mental condition, mental capacity, if that would be the case, but the fact that of his wickedness and evil, you know, if I was Joe, I would worry about either Obama or Hillary. Remember, they've done that to others in the past, where they betrayed them. And again, that just added to their standing within their collective. So Joe better be very careful about that, Obama and Hillary, about, because they may very well throw him under the bus. Alrighty.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
A blessed evening.
You too. Thanks, John. God bless. Let's go out to Michigan. We have Tony.
Hi.
Hey, Tony. Hi.
Yes, you're saying liars are thrown into the lake of fire. I have to lie to my doctor when he asks me if I get all these shots that he wants me to take. I tell him yes, just to shut him up. Am I going to the lake of fire?
No, I tell you what you do on that. Revelation, read Revelation 21, verse 8, okay? No, what you should have done to him, I would have told him absolutely not. You go first, okay? You know, a lot of these guys that want to give the shots aren't taking them. They get, in fact, all of the employees of CDC, they didn't have to take them. And guess what? The employees of Pfizer were exempt from taking those shots, okay? Their employees didn't have to take them, but they were pushing them on everybody else. But here, what I'll do is I'll read it to you, and you tell me what you think, okay?
Well, ready? I have to lie to him because he keeps bugging me.
What, to take the shot? Just tell him you're not going to take
shot. Any of the pneumonia shot, the flu shot, any of them.
Well, so let me tell you.
I tell him, yeah, I took him just so she'd shut up and leave me alone.
I'm a senior, and when they said that to me, do you know what I told them? I told them you ought to be ashamed of yourself for doing that. Those, you know what's in that. I had one doctor admit to me, yeah, I do know, but if I don't push it, I'm going to lose my job, and I can't afford to because I've got 8 children that I have to feed, and I'm a single mother, okay? Now, but the thing of it is you got to tell them, I just tell them the truth. I tell them, I'm not going to take that. You shouldn't be pushing that. You know what's happening. You know it's killing people. And usually that's all they need to hear. They pretty much don't push it with me anymore. So just tell them the truth. You're never wrong to tell the truth. You hear that, Ms. Johnson? Here you go. I'm going to read it to you, Tony.
Okay, thank you.
But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And here, Ms. Johnson must think that, oh boy, the Lord Jesus must be an awful mean person for putting those people in that lake of fire. But they've done it to themselves. The wages of sin is death. And so, and if she thinks that I'm a fiery preacher, she ought to listen very carefully to Jesus.
And I also have to tell a lie, maybe to keep a secret for a birthday gift. I tell a lie.
Well, it's never right to tell a lie, but you don't have to tell them what they want to hear, okay? And so, over the years, I've had to be on the witness stand many times because for my pro-life activity, and I never told a lie, but I never told them what they wanted to hear, okay? And so, that's what the Lord Jesus did. He always answered a question with a question. So, you study the Word of God, and you'll learn how to do it, okay?
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Thank you.
God bless you all.
You too, Tony.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. How much time do I have, Derek? Okay, I've got time for one fast caller?
We don't have any callers.
Okay, let me just go ahead with it. I'm just going to go ahead with giving an invitation. Folks, you know what you've heard out here tonight, all of the things that's happening, and what I was preaching on, the message that I was preaching on, has to do with people that have been so indoctrinated, they don't know right from wrong. They don't really know right from wrong, okay? And it's what we were talking about here. The pastors have not had the fire and the courage to preach out against sin the way that they should have. They just didn't. They've let God down. No place has our Lord been more dishonored than from the pulpits. That's why we have what we have there. I know I've often read here many times about the sermon that Charles Finney wrote in 1873 when he preached a message called The Decay of Conscience. And he said, if there is a decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the public press lacks moral discernment, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the church is degenerate and worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses its interest in Christianity, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in the halls of legislation, the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt that the very foundations of our government are ready to fall away, the pulpit is responsible. All of those things are what's currently happening in America today. And he's absolutely right. And I've been preaching this for 50 years. 50 years. So, folks, I'm going to do this. I'm going to say a sinner's prayer. And what I would have all of you out there listening, if you have not received Christ as your Savior, let me tell you something. You're going to die. That's a fact. And when you die, the Bible says it's appointed to all men once to die and then the judgment. When you die, you're going to end up in heaven or hell. That's a fact. You don't want to go to the latter. Now, that's reality. You can believe whatever you want. You can believe, but God's word never returns void, folks. And you've got the Word of God. if God has said it, you better believe it, because you will anyhow, okay? So just if you have not received Christ as your Savior, you're walking on a tightrope over the lake of fire. You hear that, Ms. Johnson? And so here what I want you to do is just repeat after me. Repeat after me. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come before you, a sinner, Lord. According to thy perfect will, I deserve hellfire. But Father God, you placed your Son upon a cross. He died in my place. He died a substitutionary death. My sins were nailed to that cross, Lord. So I'm asking you right now to forgive me of my sins. Heavenly Father, Lord God, thank you, Father. Thank you for loving us the way you've done. Lord Jesus, you took my place upon that cross. You told me if I call upon your name, and if I play, that if I must put you first before everyone and everything. And I'm calling upon your name, Father, Lord Jesus, right now. Father God, without any reservations at all, I'm asking you, Lord, to be my Lord and my Savior. Right now, I know that you will always honor the commitment. You're the only one we can always completely trust. Right now, I'm a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom, and I'll be indwelt now with the Holy Spirit. I want to thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm a new creature, a born-again believer, and I'm saved. And amen. Well, I hope that you prayed that prayer with me, folks out there. Because, again, the time will come, believe me. Take my word for it. This is what God has said. This is what God has said. The time will come when the only thing that will matter to you, the only thing that will matter to you is your standing with Christ. There will be nothing else. Nothing else is going to matter. Because when you die, you're going to awaken either in heaven or hell. And folks, again, I hope that you prayed that prayer with me. And if you did, I'd soon like to hear about it. I really would. Okay, so it's that time again here. Every night when we get to this place, we always say, good night, God bless, and always, always, and I do mean always, keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's right, what's left? Hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.